Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
If you recognize that, you're pretty hip. That's the theme for the podcast Serial, which announced this week that it will partner with Pandora for its second season. That is public media playing on a private streaming service, which will insert its own ads into the stream. And Serial's not alone. Pandora will also be carrying This American Life. They're both produced in association with public radio station WBEZ in Chicago. And it's raising questions about whether public media may be moving away from its traditionally commercial-free format. In other words, is the public in public radio headed for the exits? Jay Allison is an independent journalist. He produces the Moth Radio Hour and founded the Public Radio Exchange, Transom.org, and public radio station WCAI on Cape Cod, a station I used to work for. And Nick Kwa is the writer of the weekly podcast newsletter Hot Pod. He also works with Panoply, the audio arm of Slate. They're both with us. And Jay, let me start with you. What do you make of this news of Pandora, a for-profit company, taking these public radio entities and becoming the streaming partner?
It's sort of a best of times, worst of times thing. The marketplace has embraced the work that public broadcasters do, which is great for the people who make the content, the creative people who care about it and build it. I worry about the impact on public broadcasting as an entity when the marketplace drains away its best and most, in many cases, often most mission-driven producers.
And is that what's happening, Nick, as you look across the spectrum of podcasts right now?
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that in the sense that there's a lot of talent movement outside of the public radio ecosystem, mostly on the mid-level producers and also executives. Eric Nizam, formerly of NPR, is now heading up efforts at Audible. Eric Dean, who was formerly head of business development, is heading up business development at Mintroll. And we're seeing, I mean, obviously Gimlet is founded by Alex Bloomberg, formerly of Planet Money. So we're seeing a lot of high and mid-level talent moving out of the public radio ecosystem. And the real long-run danger is if entry-level producers or, you know, early career talent also begin to find other opportunities to cultivate their careers.
And they're doing that why? Because there's more money on the other side of things, or because there's better content being put out by some of these podcasts, especially ones that have the money to pay for it?
Absolutely. The two things are the central reasons why people would leave. I mean, it's a kind of a common knowledge that a radio producer's life isn't exactly the most lucrative or the most sustainable or the most stable. So these opportunities befit a possible better world. And until radio producers at an entry level all the way up to, you know, executive levels could be compensated adequately, I don't think it's a trend that we're able to see slow down at all.
But there is a really sizable difference between the stuff that is going out on public radio, I think, and the podcasts that are out there. I want to take a listen here, because what they're doing with ads is very different than what you hear on public radio. Here's a few of them right now.
Startup is brought to you by eShares, modern equity management for private companies from formation to IPO. Understanding the ownership.
Support for Criminal comes from Stamps.com. There has to be a better way to mail and ship stuff. Turns out there is.
With Stamps.com. Song Exploder is also sponsored by Lagunitas Brewing Company, who believe brewing is like a long-form symphony with melody, thematic development and variation, recapitulation, mutation and restatement.
That's Alex Bloomberg with Startup, Phoebe Judge with Criminal, and Harishi K. Sherway with Song Exploder. Three hosts voicing their own ads there. Is this where we're going, Jay?
Well, I mean, it's where commercial radio has been forever. I mean, it's nothing new. The host endorsement, public broadcasting has remained apart from that, and I think perhaps in some measure has received a lot of its trust because of that. There's not a lot of mingling of sales with content. Suddenly that. That has broken down utterly, and it remains to be seen whether that's going to be something that erodes trust with an audience or whether it's simply embraced as a pragmatic solution to a thorny financial problem.
But what do you lose when that happens? If that starts happening in public radio and you hear Robert Siegel, you know, reading an ad for Lagunitas, what does that do?
Look, my dedication to public broadcasting, which I started way back when, you know, NPR was getting started in the 70s, was that it was a place apart from the marketplace. Nothing against the marketplace. You know, free enterprise is an American value. But does it take care of every need a society has? Is the need to sell and exchange and have commerce the best way to accomplish every single societal goal that media can? And I think not. I think that it's wonderful to have a spot which is in some ways protected from the marketplace. Now, we did that early on, actually, with congressional mandate. I mean, it was a different vision of a society where we people agreed, to the extent that it became law, that there should be a part of this broadcast spectrum saved for educational nonprofit work dedicated to public good. You know, you can define that in all kinds of ways. But lots of us signed up for that, and we're willing to take less money because of the common mission and the idea that it was bigger than us. And we joined an enterprise that had mission at its heart. And that's the thing that I fear for.
Nick, do you fear for that? And you listen to a lot of podcasts. What else are you hearing out there? Or is there anything that you're hearing that makes you feel a little queasy about where we're going?
So I don't feel any queasiness for it, because I think, you know, we're looking at a creative environment that has a multiplicity of sources. What we're seeing in the private market is talent that sort of understands the limitations of relying on public funding. And what they're doing is they're applying that same sensitivity to the production and creation of advertising. There's a rise of sort of resistance against advertising on the internet right now. And that's a function of, because advertising historically has not been produced very thoughtfully at scale.
This episode is sponsored by Harry's.com, and I'm about to confess a secret shame. I'm just bad at shaving. Seriously, I've never learned how to do it without slicing up my face, and my wife Sarah is not a big fan of facial hair. But I got a $15 shave kit from Harry's.com, which not only comes with a razor, three blades, and your choice of Harry's shave cream or the new foaming shave gel, it also comes with instructions on how to shave. It's like the father I never had.
It's important that you...
So you don't see much of a difference between what's going on in some of these podcasts and what happens on public radio stations all over the country?
The difference is in the sort of the source of the mandate, right? The difference is in the purpose of those organizations and why they exist. Public radio has existed to serve a public good, whereas private companies like Gimlets, like Radiotopia, like Panoply, they are essentially existing to put out the product and to sort of increase a user base, increase the listener base. But there is a sense, it is a vessel for the creators, and it's a vessel for the journalists that work at the heart of those enterprises.
Jay, I seem to remember years ago when we were working together, you came up with an idea that was immediately laughed off by the people on the money side of the business when it came to the stations that you founded on Cape Cod, which was that we should make the underwriting announcements in public radio even shorter, that it should just be the name of the organization supporting, and all public radio stations should get together and say, this is what we want to do, because that's the mission of what we're doing. It's not about creating advertising for organizations.
Well, you know, as Nick laid out, there are two different, you know, organizational concepts at work here. You know, my world is public broadcasting. In public broadcasting, I like the purity model to the degree we can figure out how to make it work. And that's going to be like upgrading our ability to get subscriptions from listeners who value what we do and who value our commitment to not selling them stuff. And the organizations that are putting out podcasts are dependent on that. So they have a different mandate. You know, I suppose one possibility is that public radio is forced to redefine itself and say, if the high quality, long form narrative stuff is now being listened to on demand and a terrestrial location based, you know, fixed in time delivery service can't compete with that, what can we do with all these transmitters in all these communities? What is needed, and what can we do best? Maybe we do something a little bit different, or maybe we do something a lot different. Maybe we stake a claim for local news reporting. I mean, we are in the moment. We are what's happening right now. Podcasts are not. The nowness of radio is still relevant, and the placeness of radio is still relevant. So I would look at those two things and try to figure out what public radio ought to be going forward.
Nick, make me feel good about the future.
Well, it's going to have to get really bad before it can get really good.
I think that may be true.
I think you're absolutely right, Jay. Like, public radio should never compromise on its mission. What it's doing is extremely important, and the manner in which it's able to produce the kind of journalism that it does is really, really important. However, it should adapt all the mission also. I mean, the question is that the problem they have is that their original monopoly is no longer viable. It is no longer the strongest player in the market to produce news that's good for the community, to produce a material that's being sold, to own an audience. So what should public radio do? Public radio should A, expand to new audiences, and B, reorganize to an extent that accommodates the larger digital disruption that we're seeing. Because I think, I mean, the larger trend here is that the original revenue flows are shrinking because the less diehard devoted audiences are moving away. So it's either you double down and capitalize on that diehard audience, or you try to bring in new ones, like people of color, like people from other communities, sort of cross-community programming as well, stuff like that.
That's Nick Kwa of Slate. He writes the weekly podcast newsletter Hot Pod. And we've also been speaking with Jay Allison, independent journalist and public media producer, founder of Public Radio Exchange and Transom and WCAI on Cape Cod. Thanks to you both.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.